personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Happy Sunday, everyone. This is Lauren and Andrew Lieb on Liebcast. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We hope your turkey was delicious. I'm not sure, Lauren, if they also are as smart as I am. As I told everyone, I got that brisket, the barbecue. Oh, so good. I'm still eating it. It's so good. And did you see the great news, Lauren?
What is that?
The McRib is back. The McRib.
The most popular in 8 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was like 8 years ago, the McRib. And so I have Eric Rubel on the line. He's going to be talking to us about this New York City private justice that he started in this pandemic about matrimonial resolutions. But Eric, before we get into the substance, what do you think about a McRib?
I've never had one, got to be honest.
Never had one? So after the pandemic, if we have you back.
I know, but the barbecue brisket, that does sound good, I got to say.
You redeemed yourself there. I was getting worried. I was going to have to force feed you a McRib. And did you see the sadness, though, Lauren? McDonald's stopped selling salads.
Yeah, those salads weren't good.
Oh, I liked them because they were the only salad that was more fattening than their cheeseburger.
Terrible for you.
It was really, really good. So, and I bring this stuff up because I imagine that while we're in this pandemic, a lot of people like me are really enjoying drive-through restaurants. Like, I'm a big fan of the drive-through restaurant because you never know when you go into a restaurant who's going to be wearing a mask and what they're going to do. But the drive-through, I think that's like, if you see the Starbucks line on drive-through, Lauren, it's like three blocks.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And maybe, you know why people like the drive-through? I have an idea. They're sick of being home with their spouse. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, like, they want to wait 3 hours for their latte.
Oh yeah, 3 hours, maybe four for their latte. Because
it's like a COVID test.
When you are living at home and working at home and teaching your kids at home during a pandemic, I'm imagining all those little ticks that annoy you about your spouse. They are like, roar. I imagine that like you are thinking about different ways to murder them with an ice pick. And I was thinking that's probably illegal. So instead of doing that, I called up my buddy Eric Rubel. And Eric is like one of the finest divorce attorneys in the New York metro area. This guy, he doesn't do your run-of-the-mill like he does, but he's a complex family and matrimonial matters attorney. And what that means is when there's real issues, like he's not talking about when you drive under the overpass and they have, get your divorce for $500. You see those things, Eric? They always say, file out your own. It makes me.
What's the filing fee?
Yeah, like.
Isn't that more than $500?
How do they do that? Like, tell us what's going in a divorce. Like, this is a complex major thing when people are getting divorced, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, high net worth cases, you're talking about shares of stock in privately held companies. You could be talking about companies that just went public, private practices, even artwork, real estate deals, minority interests in LLCs. I mean, these are the things that we see.
And are you seeing an uptick right now because of the pandemic? Because I imagine you can't eat too many McRibs. You said you never even had one. So how are you supposed to escape the house enough? I'm imagining people. Are you seeing people just like calling you every minute of every day? I feel like that's an underlying travesty that's going on right now.
You know, we thought that there would be an uptick, and we were looking at this in the spring and the summer, and we thought, come the fall, we're going to see this massive uptick. We're not seeing that. And I think part of that had to do with the election. I think people were kind of nervous as to which way the election was going to go. And I think now with the resurgence of the virus, I think people are kind of hanging out and just kind of biding their time. People don't know what they're going to happen with their finances, with real estate, new Congress, taxes, what's going to happen with tax rates. Even the PPP loans, how much is forgivable, how much is not. There's a lot of unknowns. And when there's a lot of unknowns, sometimes divorce sits on the sidelines a bit to see which way it's going to go.
Lauren actually found some stats that backed you up, and I'm glad you're agreeing with what she found, because I was like, Lauren, keep researching. I can't find, I don't see how that's possible. What'd you find?
Yeah, I just read that divorces hit a 50-year low. But it's not just because of the things that you were talking about. Those make complete sense. It's just because people are starting to get married later in life and they're choosing their spouses differently and not, you know, when you get married young and you don't know where you are, who you are, what you're going to be, those are the people that were getting divorced more frequently. So apparently it's the last time the divorce rates was this low was in 1970. So we'll see.
And what are they saying the rate is? I'm curious. Was it around 40%?
You know, there's so many different statistics out there that I've been finding, and they're contradicting each other. I found one survey from American Family Survey that said that that people reporting that their marriage is the trouble went from down 40%. And divorce filings, I saw that they were down 19% in Florida, 9% in Missouri, 12% in Oregon, and 13% in Rhode Island. There's no data for New York.
Well, Eric's the data for New York. So Eric's telling us that
anecdotal data.
Well, it's good data. Eric's telling us that it's not happening so much because of instability. I think that's a very good point, that people don't want to make major life changes when they don't know what the future leads for them. And one of the things that really comes to me, Eric, is my parents had a divorce like the War of the Roses. They were like throwing stuff at each other. I'm still in therapy about this thing. And one of the things that everyone wants in a divorce, even in non-complex ones, is they want exclusive use and occupancy of the primary residence. That's like a big, big fight. And when you're told to stay at home, how does that all shake out?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, but on the flip side, it depends where you are. So if you're in Manhattan and there's an issue about exclusive use and occupancy, well, you know what? The real estate market is hurting quite a bit, especially residential as well. So not so hard to get an apartment now and to get a good deal on an apartment. So if you have to get out, if a judge says you do have to leave because of marital strife, you're probably going to find something quite affordable in Manhattan and even out in the boroughs. I think that you're going to find something pretty reasonable.
So there's solutions
there. And I have to say...
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I said, so you're saying there's solutions there. It's not as we would see, this market is also giving opportunities to get someone out of the house. So tell me.
So I also think that the when it comes to custody and seeing the kids, when the pandemic started, there was much more of a stay at home, kids shouldn't travel between homes. That shifted. That definitely shifted over the summer and into the fall. And what we saw in the fall, especially in New York, was judges ordering people back to Manhattan, ordering them to come back from out of state. Somewhere we had cases in Ohio, we had cases in Massachusetts, and judges were ordering the mothers or fathers with the kids back to New York, quarantine, and then having them continue with their visitation schedules. But we also had people who were abiding by their visitation schedules even during the pandemic and still are without any judicial interference. So it's been kind of a mixed bag, which is basically how it reflects also how this country has responded to the pandemic.
I can only imagine it's really hard for people that have children that have different views with their spouse or their ex-spouse on how they believe that they should be behaving during the pandemic.
Well, I'm thinking mask fights, Lauren.
Yeah.
We've on the show, we've explored that some people are very pro-mask and public health, and then some people say it's taking your liberty and masks give mask anxiety. And there's a huge debate about, which I don't understand. Truthfully, I think everyone should wear a mask, and I think you're stupid if you don't wear a mask, and I just want to tell you how stupid I really think
you
are.
Let's just interrupt this program to tell you how stupid you are.
I had to tell him. Well, I'm telling him because did you see after Thanksgiving how much it's already doubled in Suffolk County? Doubled. We need to wear a mask because this is a pandemic. But what are judges, Eric, telling us about this? Are you having litigation over whether the kids have to wear masks?
You know, I haven't seen that yet. There hasn't been a published decision about that. I think in Manhattan, you're not going to see that. I really don't think that's going to be questioned, or that's going to be questioned in Queens or Brooklyn. I think people are going to wear masks because those were very hard hit areas in this pandemic. So I don't think anyone's going to question that. But so that certainly has not been raised.
Suburbs.
That would be such an interesting case to fight over whether the kids have to wear a mask and whether other people around them have to wear a mask. Because what I always found interesting about matrimonial law, and you talked about something I do want to go into in the complex when you were saying there's shares of companies. I loved your reference to even paying back PPP loans. And you were talking about real complex stuff. But then you deal even with rich, wealthy, rich people that have major assets. You see them fighting over who gets the Hoover vacuum they got on their wedding day. And I always find it interesting that sometimes in divorce, it's not just about money. It's about principle between the two different people. And so you could see any type of fight where we wouldn't think that you'd go to court about a mask. You're saying to yourself, it hasn't happened yet. Did everyone hear the word yet that Eric said in there? Because I heard yet, because it easily could happen. So Eric, you started this thing called New York City Private Justice to address a situation that I see as a major problem. Access to the courts. And you just started this thing. I was reading about it and I said, Eric did this. I got to get Eric on the show. What is New York City Private Justice?
Okay. So New York City Private Justice is, you're correct. I started the company. I solely own it. And what we provide is an alternative to the backed up courts. Right now in New York County and in Queens and in even in Suffolk and Nassau, what you're experiencing is that the judges are they're not having in-person meetings. They are very rare, and they're not having in-person trials. And even before the pandemic, the judges would typically refer out the financial aspects of the divorce. Once discovery was completed and everyone was ready, if you didn't settle the case and it had to be tried, these cases typically went out to what's called a special referee or a judicial hearing officer who would make a determination. And there was a backlog. I mean, you could be sent out to a special referee by a judge on child support, or spousal support, or the division of assets, you go to the special referee part, and you would not get a trial date for 6 to 9 months.
Wow.
Absolutely possible. And then you're just starting to try the case. You're not trying the case day to day. You're getting snippets of days. Maybe you're getting full days. Maybe you're getting half days, because the special referees are taking calls. They have motions. They have to handle uncontested divorces. Other matters come up. So you're not getting a full day-to-day 9:30 to 4:30, you know, complete attention. So your day, you could be scheduled out over possibly 2 or 3 months. And then you're waiting for a decision. It could be a year and a half from the day you're ready to try your case until you get a decision or a judgment of divorce.
Wow.
So,
has that changed?
And that got worse as the pandemic has gone on.
Sorry, yep. Eric. Has that changed this year with the pandemic?
Oh, it's gotten worse. Okay. So what happened is with the pandemic and the closing of the courts, all cases stopped, everything. So judges typically heard custody cases. They would hear some financial cases, maybe a handful a year. Pandemic comes along and everything is shut down. So now you just have cases stacking up. And in the fall, the New York State Judiciary said that they had to cut $300 million from their budget. So what you had was a multi-pronged attack on the budget. And what the courts did was certain judges who come up for certification because of their age were not recertified.
Big lawsuit
so 49,
about that. Yeah.
49 judges came up, 46 were denied. That's massive.
Yeah.
That's a massive number. And the JHO system is being retired, and special referees who have retired are not being replaced. So the forum to hold these financial trials for divorces has essentially evaporated. So I came up with this company where we hold the financial trial. We're not allowed to do custody. as a matter of law in New York, custody may not be arbitrated. It must be handled in a court or it can be mediated. So we handle the financial aspects, and Jackie Silverman, who was the former administrative judge of the state of New York, is the judge for the company. She's going to hear the case and make a decision.
Eric, when you say no custody and you can't do arbitration for custody, can you do arbitration for child support, or is that something that you can't do either?
We can do child support. We just can't do custodial issues. You can't do access. You can't do who makes decisions for the children. Definitely handle child support.
And
because it's also a calculation pursuant to guidelines.
And when you're dealing with these things, you mentioned the word arbitration versus mediation, and you said that mediation, you could mediate a custody situation. Can you just explain what the difference is between mediation and arbitration so everyone understands?
Sure. So mediation is essentially a negotiation. A mediator is in the room with the parties, and they are negotiating how they want to resolve issues. And they help them, the mediator helps them resolve their issue. An arbitration is essentially a trial. It's just non-appealable. So the arbitrator hears the evidence, and then will make a decision. And that decision is not appealable.
And that decision, though, can become an official judgment in the state. So it's enforceable as if it was a judgment from a court when they file it. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. So the what would happen is the parties agree to arbitrate. So they're going to agree to come to New York City Private Justice and have their financial issues resolved by New York City Private Justice. That decision will then form the basis of a judgment of divorce.
So when you say the parties agree, Lauren can't be like, Eric, stay on the line after this interview and become your buddy and then drag my tushy over in, because we're married, she can't drag my tushy into New York City Private Justice against my will and take all my assets. I'd have to agree to that as well. Both parties have to agree. Is that what I'm getting?
Well, you have to first start with the court system. You have to file an action for divorce first.
Okay.
You can't come to New York City Private Justice immediately. It has to be that you file an action, and then if you want the case tried instead of settled, then you contact private justice. The lawyers and the parties have to sign a stipulation that they are pursuing the end of the case through New York City Private Justice, and that they understand, and that way everybody's on the same page.
Just to back up, though, can you do this in a prenup? Because I hear that prenups are all the rage. Before you get married, you should sit with your spouse, and you should have this agreement, and you should work it out, because otherwise you don't have a fight later. So can I put in my prenup that says, listen, we'll go to court, but any financial issues, Lauren, we're going to Eric at New York City Private Justice?
You could.
So it could be agreed to in advance, and we could strip ourselves of the rights of the court if we wanted to and make this as an exclusive forum to start off with.
Yes, you could.
And
you could agree to arbitrate all financial issues.
And
yes.
The reason why I asked that is you said that it takes 1.5 years from the date you are ready to trial until the trial. And I imagine you use the word discovery. We're talking years even before then. So if I
oh,
had a,
that's,
yeah,
yeah.
Tell me.
So I had an interesting case a couple of years ago, a family, it took, I believe, 7 years for the case to finally end. I mean, we had every major custodial issue raised. There were, I think, 32 or 33 motions in the case. There were 3 appeals in the case. It was a very, very long litigation. It was fully tried. I mean, that case was, I would say, 8 days of trial.
Wow. So here's my question, Eric, though. I go and I do it smart. Smart is not getting divorced. But I end up, we can't live together. This pandemic, Lauren won't eat the McRib. It's a whole disaster. And mm-hmm. I call up Eric and we go to court and then we go to New York City Private Justice. I am before Jackie Silberman, the matrimonial justice. She was the administrative judge. She knows what she's doing. I'm concerned, though, because you said that the courts aren't allowing people in person, and we talked about that whole mask thing before. Where does mm-hmm. this New York City private justice thingy happen. I don't want any Rona while I'm there.
So we have our trials right now, starting as the company opened, they're going to be doing virtual. We are not using Zoom. We are using a platform called Live Litigation. It's very secure. The security for it in terms of who can get in is very tight in terms of the lawyers and the litigants or a witness and the judge. So it's not like the Zoom issues that
no
we've
Zoom
had.
No Zoom bombing.
Yep, no Zoom bombing. And the exhibits are uploaded, and they are uploaded through Amazon. And so we use Amazon's databases, which are secure. And the platform is fantastic because when you share the exhibits, you're not losing pictures. You're not losing the ability to see the witness.
So important.
That's a problem on Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, everybody kind of gets moved off the side. That doesn't happen on this platform. So it can handle exhibits. It can handle watching the witness. And it's a fantastic platform. It's very little known. No one knows about it in the matrimonial world. No one uses it.
Well, now everyone knows about it because Live Litigation was talked about by Eric Rubel, who's from Warshaw Burstein. He's a fabulous, complex family and matrimonial attorney, and he started off New York City Private Justice. He's joining us right now on the air, talking to us about this new forum to solve, not just like deal with, solve, done your financial issues in a divorce.
Pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah. He's saying that, listen, we can do child support, spousal support. You could break up a corporation because at the end of the day, the only thing we can't deal with is custody and visitation issues. That's what he's saying. And while Eric's telling us that there's a low on divorces right now, and Lauren's echoing in that, and they're both saying, hey, it seems like there's a low. I think, as Eric pointed out, if you're reading the tea leaves of what Eric said, it's because he said that it's because there's so much uncertainty and with the election, but we're going to have certainty in 2021. We're going to know who's the president in 2021.
We'll be vaccines.
There's going to be vaccines. So when this uptick's happening, Eric's already prepared and he's created this New York Private Justice. And as we always tell you on the Leapcast, we tell you how current events are affecting business and real estate. And if you're not hearing this, forgetting your own private life, this is a man that's saying to himself, how am I going to fix what's broken? Oftentimes, when there's pandemics, when there's bad things going on, there's a disruption. And the question is, do you sit idly by and do you just sit and say, oh, woe is me? Or do you roll up your sleeves, hook up with one of the best matrimonial judges around, create a system using live litigation and New York City Private Justice? Eric, where is someone who wants to use this service going to find you? Do they just Google New York City Private Justice?
You can Google New York City Private Justice. You can also go to the website that I created called nycpj.com. And the phone number for the company, I got a little creative. You may remember that when you were doing matrimonial law, the statute is the Domestic Relations Law 236B. So the phone number for New York City Private Justice is 888-DRL-236B. I'm hoping that my matrimonial colleagues, it will be very easy for them to remember my phone number.
I absolutely love it. Eric, we're going to keep you around. They're booting us for a commercial, but we're going to keep you around because Lauren and I have some questions about this equitable distribution. How do they divide up the property? So just stay with us. This is the Leapcast. We'll be right back.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.